Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and today's show, we've got Dawn Lippert. She's the founder and CEO of Elemental Impact, and she's here to talk about the brand new Data Center Innovation Initiative. Hey, Dawn, welcome to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thanks so much for having me, Bert.
Yeah, you know, and I'm really quite honored to have you since I think it must have been several years since I've actually had you on the show. Usually I have Tiffany, but, you know, Tiffany's great, but I'm glad to have you back on the show. And, you know, just for starters.
You usually have the A-team in Tiffany, I have to say.
Well, Tiffany is good. Tiffany is good. I'm really happy to have you. Now, maybe, you know, kind of give us a little bit of a context. Like, you know, I'd love to give people a chance to hear what it is that Elemental Impact is all about. In fact, you know, back in the good old days, right, Energy Accelerator, you've gone through a number of name changes, but the focus has been, for the most part, the same. But can you give us a little bit of, like, where you have come from and what it is that you're kind of focusing in on? And, of course, you know, with the new branding and Elemental Impact, I mean, what is it that you're setting as key priorities?
Yes, absolutely. So Elemental Impact, you're right, we've had a few different names, and partly it's because we're just on the edge of innovation, mm-hmm. and so we want to make sure that our name reflects what we're up to. And Accelerator just implied too early stage of companies over time when we had this maturing portfolio of companies doing amazing work. So we wanted a name that reflected that. So Elemental is a nonprofit climate investor, and we help climate technologies move from the lab and pilot projects to real world deployment, and especially where they can deliver both environmental impact and local community benefits. So that's our DNA. Again, it's a nonprofit, so we invest in startups. We've invested in 160 companies to date. They've gone on to raise over $11 billion in follow-on funding. So they're really, a lot of them are operating at scale. We're 40 people now across Elemental. The beating heart of Elemental is here in Hawaii, where I started it many years ago. And we now have offices in Honolulu, in San Francisco, New York City, and people across the country.
You know, that's a pretty amazing story. Now, when you say you're a nonprofit and you actually invest in a lot of these companies, do you get some sort of windfall as a result of, you know, an exit strategy? Is that the same? Is that the similar strategy as some of the other accelerators?
We do. We do get equity in these companies. So when they succeed, then we do get those proceeds. We put them right back in the nonprofit to do more projects and more programs and more impact. So it's a very unusual model. And the reason we like it is because we can invest really for impact. And there's lots of market gaps, specifically in climate, because many of these companies, they're working in regenerative agriculture, they're working in clean energy, they're working in water, mm-hmm. and they're filling really key gaps and providing collective benefit. So we're able to invest where other investors might not yet go, just based on the private markets. We can go first, we can be flexible, we can be catalytic, mm-hmm. but we don't subsidize these other investors. If the company works and, you know, is successful, then we also share in that financial benefit, and we move that right back into the nonprofit. One example is we've had a company in our portfolio, Fervo Energy, it's a geothermal company, have the largest clean technology IPO ever just a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the proceeds of Elemental making an early bet in a company like that goes right back to the mission.
And I think, you know, it's interesting the model that you've created where you focus in on this particular area, clean energy. Whereas, you know, the commercial, let's say, venture capital tend to have, fads. Maybe they're interested in one kind of sector, and then all of a sudden they're shifting into another sector, and they could be, depending on, you know, where the group, you know, sort of momentum starts to move, whereas yours is really focused around this one area. So you're giving, you know, startup companies a chance in spite of the fact that maybe the commercial guys have sort of kind of like moved on to something else. Is that a true statement?
Yeah, we wake up every single day working on environment and climate and how to make communities better. So mm-hmm. I think that consistency has been really helpful in the market. It's just why we're in this work. And yeah, you're right. There are times where we've been in vogue and then out of style mm-hmm. and back in vogue. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of used to those cycles. And there are also really serious investors that see decarbonization as the major trend and continue to invest across those sort of zeitgeist cycles as well. So I will say we have amazing friends and colleagues that have been consistent in this work. And then there are tourists that come and go as things get popular.
Now, in the beginning, there was some pretty good sort of, I don't know if you consider them startup funds that Elemental was able to get from the federal government, right? I forget which actual agency, but that was kind of the key financial startup. And then as time has gone on, have you, I know you've broadened that portfolio of sponsors and donors. How has that sort of changed over the short time of maybe, let's say, the last 5 years?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. So like many initiatives, our seed capital was in public funding, government funding from mm-hmm. the Department of Energy mm-hmm. and right. Other agencies. And over time, we've been able to bring in a lot of different donors, philanthropy, family offices, foundations, some of the sort of biggest families and foundations in the world are backers of Elemental. We have more than 40 backers now. Mm-hmm. And they're all donors. So what they're doing is providing grants to Elemental and saying, we want you to be on the edge of innovation, on the edge of what's possible, creating new ideas, creating the edge when needed. And so that group has really broadened over time. And what I will say about the donors is they tend to be really bold and they tend to be quite entrepreneurial themselves. And they realize that to address the really serious issues in climate and in nature and in our oceans now, we need new kinds of models that are working alongside and in close proximity to the market and actually helping shape the market. Mm-hmm. So we need policy, absolutely, and policy creates sort of the frame and the container for this work. But we also need entrepreneurs and markets to take up the mantle so that this, clean energy, clean transportation, healthy agriculture, all of these different things we want, that they can scale. And so we really work at that intersection of kind of public policy and sort of broad systems and where the market needs to go.
Now, you've described a number of different areas that Elemental has interest in, and they're pretty divergent, from clean energy, transportation, agriculture. How does the organization, you said 40 people, how does it organized in such a way that you can have a good sense of what's going on in each of those sectors so that you can kind of identify and target programs that help to either scale or catalyze, like you say, those particular sectors, because they're pretty different.
Yes, we have subject matter experts in each of these key areas where mm-hmm. we invest. And we also have a wildly brilliant and extensive network of people that we rely on in different companies, other investors, research institutions and universities to help us get smart on any topic. I think to be an investor now, you have to move very quickly and you have to be one or two phone calls away from someone that has spent their entire lives working on mm-hmm. a particular question. Mm-hmm. And you'll never have all of those under one roof. That's not the goal. The goal is to be one or two phone calls away from those people. And we've built that network over the last 17 years. And I think that's what makes us a very good investor.
No, this is fascinating. And I think you've kind of quickly outgrown Hawaii. I mean, I guess part of the next part, that we'll talk about is how have you sort of expanded? Because all of the things and the areas that you've been focusing in on, Hawaii has a component of it, but largely it's across the entire continent and across the world. So, there's a lot of coverage that I think Elemental has. Now, I do want to kind of get back to the topic of discussion, which is the Data Center Innovation Initiative. So what we'll do is we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Don Lippert, founder and CEO of Elemental Impact. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Anchor Systems Hawaii.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Don Lippert. She's the founder and CEO of Elemental Impact, and we're going to be talking, you know, about Data Center Innovation Initiative. But before we do that, Don, you were telling me that, you know, this is really not about data centers. This is about kind of like the key areas that you've been focusing in on, you know, as Elemental, the clean energy area. And I'd like to give you a chance to talk about what is it about clean energy and data centers and the intersection that resulted in the Data Center Innovation Initiative?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, Bert. And also, I just want to make one thought about Hawaii to share, mm-hmm. which is that, you know, I don't think we will ever outgrow Hawaii. I mean, Hawaii teaches us so much about how to do work in communities, how to live into our values, how to show up and really honor our kuleana. Mm-hmm. I think there's so many things about Hawaii that we are learning and bringing every day, especially as we wade into some of these really difficult national issues like data centers. So that's really core to the work that we're doing.
No, that's a great point. I mean, coming from sort of an island consciousness and applying that to the technology and you know, these areas that you've just described really looks at you know, the resources as limited and not something that you can just exploit endlessly. And so I think that's a really valuable perspective to take on with any of the areas that you, you know, actively work in. So I think that's a great perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that anyone who's built something in Hawaii really understands that you have to think very carefully about the community you're working in, about how you're interacting with them, what the relationship is, where there are opportunities for reciprocity and mutual benefit. And hey, it turns out that's true everywhere, not mm-hmm. just here. Mm-hmm. But I think some of the things that we learn here can really help us be better actors and for global citizens. And it really helps our entrepreneurs build in a much more responsible way. So that's at the core of the Elemental work. And then exactly to your point, so, I mean, I've been working in clean energy policy in Hawaii since 2007. That's really where I started working in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And I started out as an energy modeler. And it was actually interesting because when I was working on this in 2007, 2008, our models always ended in 2030. And to me, that just seemed impossibly far away. And now it's just right around the corner.
Right.
So kind of an interesting frame. But, you know, what I think it's helpful to understand what's happening broadly in energy on the continent and also what's happening in Hawaii to sort of set the context for what's happening with data centers now. So on the continent, you know, utilities and planners are forecasting electricity demand growth unlike anything we've seen in decades. And this is driven by three major trends. It's manufacturing and industrialization, it's electrification, and it's data centers.
Mm-hmm.
And in Hawaii, you know, data centers are not a major driver of the electricity growth in Hawaii, but we still do expect to see about a doubling of electricity needs in Hawaii by 2045. There was an excellent study by Hawaiian Electric in 2023 that laid out exactly why that is. And in Hawaii, it's driven, again, not really by data centers, but by electrification, and especially like electric vehicles and electrification of other equipment.
Mm-hmm.
In Hawaii, you know, it's much less expensive to operate an electric vehicle than it is a gasoline vehicle. It's about, you know, $1,500 a year for an EV, about $2,200 for a gas vehicle. So if you drive a lot, right? So that sort of $700 delta is really significant, and it's driving a change in behavior where people in Hawaii are choosing EVs because it's more affordable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that's one of the things that's, you know, happening here. So we're going to need much more energy and electricity specifically in Hawaii than we have in the past. And that's just a different framework than many of us who were sort of working in this space 15, 20 years ago. We always sort of thought that demand would be flat for electricity, but that's no longer the case. So we need to be really proactive and creative about bringing, you know, electricity onto the grid. And then what's happening on the continent is really interesting because for the first time, actually just a couple of weeks ago, solar overtook coal in terms of an energy source in the U.S. And this is driven by the fact that solar is so much cheaper than fossil fuels. So we're seeing this as a broad trend, and that's also true in Hawaii. I mean, solar has itself put a lot of downward price pressure. Renewable energy in general, but in particular solar, which we have a lot of in Hawaii, has put a lot of downward price pressure on prices. So even while the price of oil has been increasing with the war in Iran and sort of what's happening in geopolitically, solar has helped keep the prices lower than they otherwise would be, maybe like 4 to 6 cents a kilowatt hour lower, and helped avoid hundreds of millions of gallons of fuel. So we're sort of seeing, you know, some of the trends that are happening on the continent in terms of power build out being mirrored in Hawaii, especially because renewable energy is now cheaper than fossil fuels in many of these markets. And that's true whether you're Google building a new data center in Nevada or you're, you know, utilities trying to add other resources for manufacturing electrification. Mm-hmm. We're sort of seeing, we're seeing that trend in both places.
So in terms of how Elemental Impact got into this area of data center innovation initiative, what was it that kind of brought together some of the companies that you mentioned? I mean, Google is one of them. I think another kind of partner in this is you got Amazon, you got Meta, and then you also have Microsoft. How did they come together? Were you part of, you know, wrangling them to start thinking about how does some of, you know, efficiencies in clean energy and operations benefit data centers? What was the catalyst that kind of brought the players together?
Yes. So this, essentially the data center build out is requiring this huge energy build out on the order of, you know, nothing we've really seen probably since the railroads in terms of the capital required to build out data centers and energy right now on the continent. And what we've seen in the Elemental portfolio and with entrepreneurs more generally is that this is the really key market for them to be able to scale their technology. So, for example, think about energy storage. For a long time, you know, energy storage goes through these utility RFPs. Takes quite a long time. It's absolutely a good path to market for companies, but it's not really that fast. All of a sudden, here come these huge tech companies. They're these giant companies, and they're saying, we need power. We need it immediately. What's the fastest you can do it? And we need it at a large scale. And also, you take an energy storage company that was sort of plodding along, selling in all these different kind of regional markets and regulated utilities and different requests for proposals and things, and you can do a lot more by working with a Google, working with a Meta. And so we started to see this in our portfolio. I mentioned Fervo at the top as a geothermal company. It's a great example. Early in their development, they struck a deal with Google to sell geothermal power to Google. Now, their first plant was quite small. It was one that Elemental worked on. It was a few years ago. But it was really the signal that Google would want to buy this clean geothermal energy that helped them then raise financing, help them attract talent, help them grow over time. And then with their much larger, you know, $2 billion plant in Utah, Google's a key customer for that as well. So you sort of saw how a giant tech company could partner with a startup, and through that contract and just the promise to buy energy from them at a certain price, you could really help scale a clean technology that otherwise would have had a harder path to scale. We saw that happen and then saw, oh my goodness, there are 1,000 technologies behind this that could have the same exact trajectory. So another company in our portfolio, for example, Noon Energy, develops very low-cost energy storage. They have the same exact trajectory and just a couple of months ago announced a deal with Meta that had the same impact in being able to accelerate that clean technology to market. So this is the overall trend that we're seeing in the portfolio, is that companies that can sell to these large tech companies that have, a lot of climate goals, and they have strong balance sheets, and they have a real need for not only power and energy storage, but also for concrete and steel and copper and cooling equipment, all these other things, they can be a huge pull forward for technologies that all the rest of us need. So that was the genesis of the Data Center Innovation Initiative. Elementals worked with Google and Microsoft for many years. Microsoft is an investor in our sister fund, Earthshot Ventures. We've run technology challenges for Amazon over the years, for Microsoft, helping them source interesting technology. So this is just taking that to the next step of saying, how powerful would it be if the four biggest companies in the world that are buying these technologies get together and say, here's the technologies we're looking for. Here's the specifications. We want concrete that's 30% less carbon intensive with these operational characteristics to do these exact things. And if they got together and we negotiated all of those specifications with them and then told that to the market, that would be so helpful for entrepreneurs who are then trying to sell to these companies and trying to bring forward technologies that all the rest of us also need.
Well, I think that's a fascinating and really key strategy moving forward. And I did want to ask you a little bit about storage since you brought it up, but I want to hold that thought. We'll be right back to this this after this short break to continue our conversation with Dawn Lippert. She's the founder and CEO of Elemental Impact. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor PCAT, Pacific Center for Advanced Technology Training.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lumbright here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR One. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dawn Lippert. She's the founder and CEO of Elemental Impact. And of course, we're talking about the Data Center Innovation Initiative. And Dawn, you did a great job of describing how some of the companies in your portfolio are already doing some of this work. And of course, I was going to, kind of bring up a little bit of a question around, storage, because storage, typically you think of, like Tesla, and they got the batteries and, what improvements need to be made in that area. But you have, there's companies that can make improvements and they don't have to do, I don't know. I mean, maybe you can describe, how do they get into the market? How do they service those particular companies like the Microsofts if they're in the storage business and somehow bypass sort of like the mega tech giants like Tesla?
Yeah, I mean, the reason to bring storage on along with renewable energy is, of course, the sun, solar only produces energy when the sun is shining.
Right.
And so in order for these large companies to use clean energy instead of using gas for their data centers, they need a reliable source of energy. And that's where solar paired with storage is actually the fastest and, again, the least expensive solution for power for most data centers. So that's kind of the base that most data centers are, a lot of data centers are being powered on now. There's also, of course, gas that's also coming online. But companies are very much trying to avoid gas as much as possible for, because of cost and also, supply volatility and these other things, and because of local pollution concerns and community pushback. So, right now gas is, it for some of these data centers, I think Lazard shows that it's about twice as expensive as solar plus storage. So solar plus storage is a key part of the equation. But Tesla batteries are really for more of like short duration energy storage. And there's a lot of other new technologies that are just now getting to scale in the last year, the last 6 months, that are very interesting for long duration energy storage. And so those are perfectly suited for the data center environment. And what's interesting is that, in Hawaii, again, data centers are not really sort of a big consideration in Hawaii. I think it's, one estimate I saw is it's maybe about 1% of our energy load here. It's, maybe the equivalent of a few ships that dock and come into Hawaii, right? So it's not a huge part here. But what's really cool is that our whole premise with the Data Center Innovation Initiative is to help fund and commercialize technologies that can then be applied in hospitals, in schools, in other contexts beyond data centers. So I'll give you one quick example, which is in cooling.
Mm-hmm.
So cooling happens at multiple levels in a data center. You can think of like chip level cooling, but then there's also building level cooling.
Mm-hmm.
So for our initiative, for instance, we're not going to be funding and piloting technologies doing chip level cooling, because that's just specific to data centers. We're going to be working on industrial cooling, where those same cooling technologies can be applied to hospitals and to city government, to other places. And it turns out, you know, cooling is something that really makes a difference in Hawaii and other tropical environments, in islands. Same with energy storage. You know, we were the first market for so many of these energy storage technologies because Hawaii really needs energy storage with our islanded grids. So I'm really excited about, you know, alternatives to diesel generators that we're looking at that reduce pollution and noise, which makes them mm-hmm. really interesting on the continent for data center solutions instead of diesel generators. And really interesting for island environments where we don't have to rely on, you know, sort of external oil markets and fossil fuels. And we can use, like, you know, scrap metal to power a generator instead. It'd be cheaper, quieter, cleaner, et cetera. So there's these really interesting technologies I think can be where the cost can come down by working them in a data center environment, and they can scale up there. And then they can be really applicable and beneficial for an island environment like Hawaii and other places in the Pacific. So that's one thing I'm really excited about right now.
Well, Don, you know, in the last minute, how do people or companies find out about this initiative, and what are you looking for in those companies? And these are companies that could be applying to the initiative across the continent, right? So what are you looking for, and how do you get them to, you know, submit an application?
Yeah, we have companies applying from across the continent and across the world. The pilots will be in North America for this first group. We're going to fund 10 pilots
mm-hmm.
between $500,000 and $5 million per pilot. And that's our catalytic capital that goes into a company, and there'll likely be other co-investors and other funders in some of those projects as well. We're, again, looking across renewable energy, energy storage, cooling, and clean materials like steel, cement, concrete, and copper and other materials as well. So entrepreneurs can check out elementalimpact.com or just sort of Google Elemental or the Data Center Innovation Initiative and find more information there. We have a live online session coming up on July 8th where entrepreneurs can ask any questions they might have, or investors can learn more for entrepreneurs in their portfolio. And we have a priority deadline of July 15th. So we'll accept applications all year long for this, but we're really hoping folks can get their application, their ideas in by July 15th, because we want to get moving. This build out is happening now. It's happening at unprecedented speed. And well, I think it's really incumbent upon us to figure out how to do that for broad community benefit.
Well, Don, this is great. I'll put that up on our show notes for later on. Don Lippert is the founder and CEO of Elemental Impact. And Don, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the Hawaii Wave. If you missed any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HBR One every Friday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe. You stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, whose contributors help Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Honolulu Waldorf School.